Hello, ladies. I am so excited that it gets to be us in the, yes, you would take a picture. Yes. that it just gets to be just us, ladies. I am always so excited when it's just us. And we've got time. Usually, you know, it's only about a half an hour. So if I go a little over, we'll be good because we'll still end at the right time. Let's pray and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us here safely and letting us gather together as women tonight. God, I pray for this time. I pray that you just move me out of your way and that you speak powerfully. I pray that you reach right into the hearts of the women who need this lesson. I pray that your word just moves and does not return to you empty. Father, I pray that we are humble and open to what you have to show us. God, I love you, and it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, who here loves movies? Oh, goody, goody, goody. I'm a movie lover. I love movies, and I love TV, and my favorite type of movies is the action movie. I like watching things blow up. It doesn't actually have to really have good action. As long as something blows up, I'm happy. But, you know, being a mom, I think, just opened something, and so I kind of like chick flicks, too, and the gushy, feel-good family type of movie. It's just, oh, it just melts my heart. I don't know who here has seen Lilo and Stitch. It's a Disney movie. Oh, good. Okay, so there's only a few of you who haven't. All right, so for those who haven't, Lilo and Stitch is this movie about an alien experiment who was made for destruction and carnage, and he's, like, awful. And he's supposed to be destroyed and reprogrammed. Well, he escapes, duh, and he goes to Earth, and he lands in Hawaii, of course. And he meets this little girl named Lilo, and she just befriends him. She just sees beyond his exterior, so to speak, and loves him. And eventually he becomes a part of their family. And it's just cute. It's adorable. But my favorite part is the end. Because, yeah, see, Allison's got it. So in the end, Stitch is about to be captured. And he says something. He says this Hawaiian word, and it's ohana. And Stitch says, ohana means family. And family means no one is left behind or forgotten. And that's what I want us to look at tonight. Think about that. Family. No one is left behind or forgotten. Isn't that so true? That's what happens. We all come from families. Some of them not so great. But some of them are just amazing and just wonderful. And we know that feeling when you're with your family. And even the best ones, you know, sometimes they're not perfect, right? Right? We're never as good a parent as we want to be. Growing up, our parents weren't perfect parents, and we weren't perfect kids. I know I wasn't a perfect kid. I could tell you another day about my wild stories as a teen. But even so, it's still family. It's that feeling of belonging. And as women of God, we get to be in God's family. We get to be in God's ohana. And it's better than anything we could ever imagine. Because in God's family, our dad is perfect. Our big brother is incredible. We're the messed up ones, but they are just awesome. And so tonight I want to look at that. You know, sometimes in our tendency as women, we can let the remembrances of some bad experiences in our own families shape how we view God and our relationship with God. You know, for me, I realized that I've been letting this happen in my relationship with God. For years, I had periods where I thought, you know what, God doesn't love me. God doesn't care about me anymore. He's forgotten about me. I'm invisible. He just doesn't see me. So I've got to take care of things on my own. And that led to sin after sin after sin and hurt feelings, me just really hurting the people around me. So, you know, when we figure out we've been in sin, we got to repent. Amen. So I studied out Romans 8, because I wanted to see and gain conviction about how God really feels about me and about what it means to be in God's ohana, in his family, where no one, including me, including you, is left behind or forgotten. So turn over to Romans 8. The title for tonight's lesson is God's ohana. Spell it however you want to. I spelled it O-H-A-N-A. So whatever you got, go ahead. We're not going to read all of Romans 8 tonight. So go back and study it out on your own. But we're going to focus on four convictions that you and I can have as a result of being in God's ohana. Those are, one, you and I are not condemned. Number two, we can only remain in God's ohana by living according to the Holy Spirit. Number three, suffering is a path to glory. And number four, we can be secure in God's love. So point number one, you are not condemned. Romans 8, let's read verses 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Stop there. There is no condemnation. Period. Exclamation point. Amen and a hallelujah. If you are in Christ, then you are not. I repeat, you are not condemned. Christ took the condemnation so that you and I can have the freedom. We can carry ourselves with our heads held high because of this. You know, it's one of those things, it's such a great part about being in the kingdom, but we can forget, you know? I can forget. I can look at how I live a day, how I spend my time, and I can just feel like a failure. For example, right now, my house is a disaster. It looks like one tornado just tore right through the bedrooms, and another one ransacked the kitchen and just ended in the living room. For the last 2 weeks, I've made plan after plan after plan, and they don't come to fruition. You know, we have those best intentions, and they fall by the wayside. My dogs smell like they haven't had a bath ever. And these are just some of my things. These aren't all of my things, but these are some of the things that I can really be ashamed of. These are some of those things that make me feel, you know what? Maybe God's not pleased with me. Maybe he's changed his mind about me. Maybe I'm not good enough for him anymore. Maybe he doesn't want me. But those are lies, right? From Satan. The truth is that we're not condemned. That I'm not condemned. That you are not condemned because we're in God's ohana. And there is no condemnation. So question for you, do you believe this? Do you really believe that you are not condemned? Or are you walking around like you really are? How would your day be different? Your month? Your year? How would it be different if you really believed this? You know, his scriptures are true regardless of how we feel. And we've got to get our conviction from his scriptures rather than our feelings, right? And here's the truth. There's no condemnation. You and I are free. Point number two, we can only remain in God's ohana by living according to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Turn over to, stay where you are. Look down in verse 7. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Skip down to verse 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Stop right there. You know, the fact is that if we don't live according to the Holy Spirit, it's impossible for you and I to remain in God's family. We can't make it on our own. Trying to grow in righteousness and repent from sin and be holy on your own terms and in your own way, it's never going to work. Because that's living according to the flesh. It's not just when we sin. It's when we try to do it our own way. Nothing you or I can do can change that fact. It doesn't matter how good of a person you are either. I finally got it. It's not about being a good person, because being a good person doesn't cut it. See, being a good person is nice and all, but at the end of the day, we're always going to choose what we want to do over what God wants us to do, even if it's a good thing. Because sometimes a good thing isn't what God wants us to do. And I have the perfect example. God gave this to me on the way here. So we're driving, we're coming, and I'm going through my lesson, I'm highlighting, and I'm putting little edits. And Stephen says, I'm going to pray. And I'm thinking, he knows full well that I am trying to make sure that I am ready for this lesson. That's so selfish of him. He knows I'm trying to make sure that this lesson is good for the women. Why would he? And then I just stopped. And I was like, wait a second. This is praying to God. What is wrong with me? And I thanked God. I was like, God, thank you just for stopping my train of thought, what I thought would what we need to do. And I praised him. I just got to pray. Studying, like making sure this is good for you guys is a good thing. But I was going against God to accomplish it. And that's just one example. I think each of us here can get up and talk about how that good thing can take us away from God. We simply have to live in accordance with the Holy Spirit. He will do all the work. We just got to follow him. He will bring about the complete transformation of heart, mind, and character that each person needs in order to remain in God's ohana. So what would it take for you to live in accordance with the Holy Spirit, fully, not part of the way, all the way? You know, for me, I have to focus on it. I got to be deliberate. I actually have to think. And sometimes thinking just hurts the brain. And I also have to face my fears, and I have to overcome, like that fear of the unknown. Because when the Holy Spirit's in control, he doesn't tell us what's around the corner. But we still have to do it. I have to be open and vulnerable and humble with the women around me so that they can let me know when my heart and my mind and my actions aren't right. I have to stay in the Word, and I have to put it into practice. And then on top of all of that, I still need the Holy Spirit to really do it. What is it for you? What is it going to take for you to fully live in accordance with the Holy Spirit? It's important that we think about this, because the truth is that there is no way for us to remain in God's ohana if we won't live according to this Holy Spirit. It's the only way. All right, so we've talked about living in accordance with the Holy Spirit and the fact that we're not condemned. The next thing we got to talk about is suffering. Is the path to glory. Yeah, suffering. Good old suffering. Let's look at verse 17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Verse 17. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. You know, I had a really hard time with this. It didn't really make sense. I was combing through commentaries. I was like, what is Paul saying? Run on sentences. What is he saying to me? But I figured it out. Suffering is the path to glory. Whenever you and I surrender to God, wait on the Lord, and endure hardship, we share in the sufferings of Christ. Whenever you and I act with integrity, while others around us are cheating and not getting caught, we're sharing in the sufferings of Christ. Basically, whenever we obey God's word and then continue to obey while we endure the pain and the loss and the distress or the injury and harm that comes as a result, we're sharing in the sufferings of Christ. And when we're doing that, we're taking God's path to glory. Because in God's ohana, suffering is the path to glory. Do you ever just want to tell God, you know, can we just find another path? Something else would work just as well. I do. Heather and me are right here. I don't like suffering. I've gone through enough in my 30 years, thank you. I'd like to bow out gracefully. I don't want to hurt anymore. But it's the only way. I don't know why, but God knows why. And God sees what we can't see. And God understands what we can understand because of his vantage point. It's like being in an airplane. When you're high up, you see for miles and miles and miles. But think about God. God sees all of time, all of it, at the same moment. You and I can't remember a conversation accurately. I just had lunch with Marissa Bell. I bet if we both talked about it, we'd have two different stories for how that our breakfast went. And then God understands everything in the universe. Everything from the microscopic to the expansion of galaxies. I don't even understand why I do what I do on any given day. He's got a better vantage point. He can see what we can't. So we've got to trust what he's seeing. Which is why he's saying the only way to glory is through suffering. It may be hard to accept, but it's the truth. And whenever we fight against it, we just put ourselves at a disadvantage. So sisters, you know, let's wholeheartedly just accept it once and for all. Let's just accept suffering. More than that, let's embrace it. Let's embrace sharing in the sufferings of Christ. Let's just do it. Let's just know that in God's ohana, our suffering never has to be pointless. It's the only way, but it's not pointless. And it never, ever, ever has to be in vain. It will strengthen our character. It will purify our faith. And it will bring us to Christ. It's some good suffering. It's not needless. It's not a waste. But it is the only way. It is the only path to glory. Think about how wonderful it will be in that glory. What would it look like to share in Christ's glory? That's what this suffering is achieving for us if we let it. So let's just accept it. Let's just do it because it's worth it. Amen?
Amen.
Last point, number four. You can be secure. You and I can be secure in God's love. This is my favorite. I might get a little amped. Romans 8, 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also justified. Those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Stop right there. You were foreknown, predestined, called, justified, and glorified. You have been known by God from before your existence. He knew everything about you. Not just, you know, oh, Roxanne Galbraith, I know her. I think I've heard about her once. It's not one of those things. He's known every single thing about you, your entire life from before you were born. You are not a surprise to God. He has prepared for your very existence for a really, really, really long time. So, What he decided to do is to predestine you to be conformed to the image of his son. Then he called you. Then he justified you. Then he glorified you. It's unalterable. We can't change it. It's done. And you know, it's interesting. It's not he will glorify you. It's he has glorified you. Ladies, it's already done. It's already done. He's had a plan for you and I from the beginning. Let that encourage your souls. We have never been forgotten by God. And sometimes I definitely need to remind myself of this because it's easy for me to get, easy for me to forget. You know, a few weeks ago, I was wondering, why is my life the way it is? With all my weaknesses and shortcomings, why did God let me be Stephen's wife? Why did he let me be Josiah's mom? Why did he let me be here in this church? Why did he let me lead these women? Why is he blessing me like this? Is he setting me up for something? Is he just testing me? You know, just the thoughts just get a little crazy. I start to feel insecure. I thought I was going to just ruin everything, mess up in all my roles, and just destroy everything. And you know, God sent me Michelle Brewer to just calm me down. She helped me to trust in God. She said that we are like a canvas, each one of us. Each one of us is like a blank canvas. And the painter is God. And you know, sometimes we can only see that dark spot when everything's going wrong. Or maybe we're seeing something bright because, woo, we get it, we're pushing through, we are overcoming, and life is going good. But God can see the entire canvas. And his final image is Christ. And he's not going to stop until we look just like him. And it just brought so much calm to my heart, you know, because he's got a plan. He knows what he's doing. When we mess up, he still knows what he's doing. We haven't ruined the plan. When things are going great, he's still on target. We haven't ruined the plan. He's had a plan for us from the beginning. He sees us and he knows what he's doing. All things come together to make you and I like Christ. We can be secure in God's love. Look at verse 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Stop. Just pause. Do you understand that God is for you? He's for you. He's actually in support of you. He's on your side. If this was a political thing, he would vote for you. That's how he feels about you. He is unfairly partial towards you. He is fond of you. He likes you. And it's not because you earned it. He just chose you because he wanted to. We can be secure in God's love, ladies. Amen. Verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Stop there. God gave you his son. He has absolutely nothing more precious. And now he gives you all things. And you get to keep Jesus. Look, what is that? It's incredible. And he's not giving to us reluctantly. We're not twisting God's arm. He's giving to us graciously. You know what that means? That means that there's happiness and cordiality involved in the giving. There's love and warm regards involved in the giving. There's unfair fondness for you involved in the giving. There's favor for you involved in the giving. That's how he gives you all things. Think about that as you pray. It'll energize your prayers. Because we can be secure in God's love. That's what happens in God's ohana. Let's keep going. Verse 33. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Stop there. Since God chose you from before your existence, there is no charge against you that will ever stick. It's just wonderful. God himself justifies you, so there's no one left to condemn you. To make things even more secure, Jesus himself is right next to God, and he's interceding. It's like he's whispering, don't listen to Satan. He don't know what he's talking about. She's all right. No, she's good. She's good. She's good. Like he's right there. The fight is fixed. The war is won. We can just relax. We've won. Now, Satan doesn't give up easy. And the only way for Satan to win now is to get you and I to think that God doesn't love us, that he really doesn't care. That way he can get us back into doing things ourselves. He can get us focused on us and instead of the Holy Spirit so that we can't remain in God's ohana. See, but God is smarter than Satan, so he takes care of that. Right in the next verses, look at 35 to 39. This is good. Okay, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. The mothers in here really understand this. Now that I'm a mom, I get it. We love our kids with this scary love. It's dangerous. It's fierce. It is fiery. There is nothing they can do to get us to not love them. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's nuts. And if that is how we feel, imagine how God loves us. You know, I think that God allows women to feel this love so deeply so that we can understand how God feels about us. You know, men can be insecure. I'll admit that. But we women can get really, really insecure. I don't know how often I ask Stephen, do you think I'm pretty? Do you still like me? Do you still love me? Am I okay? Are we good? I can get insecure. But imperfect, insecure women that we can be sometimes, we are able to love our children so fiercely. And God is able and does love us so much more than that. He loves you and I unconditionally. And he knows us. And he loves us anyway. Think about it. There is truly nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Zip. Zilch. Zero. Nada. Nothing. We can be secure in this crazy love. It's a part of what it means to be in God's ohana. Ladies, tonight we looked at four convictions about being a member of God's ohana, his family. The first was that you and I are no longer condemned. The second was that we can only remain in God's ohana by living in accordance with the Holy Spirit. The third was that suffering is the only path to glory. And the fourth was that you and I can be secure in God's love. I've been working on gaining these convictions so that I can grow in my relationship with God. I pray that you take some time in Romans 8. It is good. It will strengthen your convictions and help you gain some convictions as you mature as members of God's ohana, God's family, where no one, including you and I, is left behind or forgotten. Amen.